Hello and welcome to this week's breaking news episode of What Most People Think. And as ever, there's a lot of news floating around. At the back end of the week, we've got the huge shock result. Well, shock, completely expected shock result for Wales in Caerphilly. And that just left me with so many puns for the title this week. Labour will lose Wales if they're not careful. Labour not acting very carefully. Oh, look, most of them are just puns on the word careful. We're going to talk about that and the what that represents for the two-party system. And we're also going to talk, weirdly, in the fuck you section about small boats. We're going to talk about Farage flouncing out of PMQs. We're going to talk about also the Lib Dems, the cheeky, cheeky Lib Dems. One of their MPs was snapped. God, that's a tabloid word. One MP was snapped. Flaunting their PMQ question. Yeah, there was an MP where a long lens camera managed to capture a Lib Dem had given an advance warning of their question at PMQs to Keir Starmer. So we're going to talk about all that. I am a busy man. I'm here, there and everywhere. Done tour shows since we last spoke in Milton Keynes. Amazing audience in Milton Keynes. And then Stroud last night. So I've been going west a lot. I went to Chipping Norton. I went to Swindon. I've been going out west, but I'm doing that thing, right, when you're busy. I'm not saying just dads, but predominantly dads, when you're working odd hours, so you start feeling bad because you're not seeing your kids, you get in late and then you think, I'll get up early and see the family, and then you're just this fucking zombie, man. You just look like you've literally been injected with a kind of elephant level amount of ketamine, and it doesn't really help anything. So I'm trying to remember to, like, if I get in at 1:30 in the morning, try and sleep till 9 and just don't be a weirdo. But I'm loving the shows. I mean, I think this is the best show I've written, but I also think there's something going on out there where people, I know it's a cliche, but people really need a laugh. They really do. Like the appetite to laugh. And I don't know if it's because lots of people are working harder, but feeling poorer, or just there's a lot of bad news around. But like, I mean, basically what I'm saying is people being skin and world problems are good for my industry. But I'm happy to be the conduit for the laughter that is already within you. God, I sound like a wanker this week. Piss take prices. I'm going to name and shame the train station near where I live, and I hope this gets back to them. Homemade flapjack for £4.20. Are you joking, mate? Are you actually joking? £4.20 for a flapjack? Who came up with that pricing strategy? For it to be worth £4.20, it would need to be like, you know, on Border Force when people are smuggling stuff. It would need to have cocaine in it, in like a pouch or something. There is no way any flapjack in the world should be £4.20. I don't know. A flapjack, what, £1.90? They're supposed to be cheap. The things that were supposed to be cheap are no longer cheap, like baked goods. A croissant. The croissant there is £2.90. Fuck off. You're getting a sense of a man who's on the road a lot and is confronting a lot of different piss take prices. But if you've got your own, email in whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. And remember, if you're a patron, you can just message me directly through the site. And if you are a patron, you're helping me out, man, because as I say, I'll do all the production costs for this now. When I changed advertising providers as well, there was a couple where they had questions about certain guests. And I know some of you don't think this podcast is radical, but trust me, the old liberal elites, they're still out there. So I went with one that gave me autonomy, but I have to do the production costs. So please, if you can afford it, do sign up and support the podcast. We've got one new patron since the main episode this week, and that is Luke Hallis. Hallis? Hallis. Luke Hallis. Hallis. That's the kind of surname that sounds like some scientist from back in the day. You know, like if you went to a school that had any sort of history, and mine did weirdly. Mine was like, it was a grammar school and then it became a comp. But it'd be like the Hallis building, wouldn't it? It'd be some old benevolent geezer, like in the 18th century, he was some scientist that invented some laudanum or something. He'd go, oh, we're having that lesson in the Hallis building. And you'd have assemblies about him, and then you'd like, yeah, do you know there's weird things at school where you learn about shit that you never find out about later in life? You fucking have a day trip to like the river at the end of your school field. So Luke Hallis, you are very welcome, and thank you for all the work you did in the 18th century for poor children. thank you. I just want to say thank you to you for listening, because in the podcast game, right? Hardest game in the world. There's loads of new ones launching all the time. So forget growing it. I mean, obviously I'm looking for growth, but just keeping what you've got is a competitive thing as it is, because I suppose in the grand scheme of things, if you're Alistair Campbell's, you know what I mean? And you're off menus, they're like the Champions League places. I'm like a Bournemouth. Do you know what I mean? I'm Bournemouth. Sometimes I have a good season, but essentially just bobbing around mid-table in the Premiership. So I'm very grateful to you for listening, because I'm aware that this podcast doesn't fit the rules of what should make a podcast work, right? It's supposed to be the same two people each week discussing something, or it's supposed to be one celebrity interviewing another celebrity. And the podcast industry favours those things, or it favours shiny new things. You know, this has been going since 2019, but if a celebrity, say, for example, brings out their third new podcast in a month, it will favour that. So I'm just very grateful for you for listening. And I like, this is a place for nuance. And I know with the algorithm and rage bait and all that sort of stuff, that's what works. I know that the people that listen to this are willing to have their views challenged. Like some of you got back to me about Simon's views, what he said about climate change. Right, but next week it's going to be Mark Steele. So the listenership that I do have, very grateful for. Please keep listening and recommending it. So the fuck you. So the fuck you is, so there was this one in, one out agreement with France. And this is just one of the best stories of the year. Is I think it's the first guy to have been deported back to France under that rule has returned again on a small boat. So before we get into the politics of this, I just want to say to that guy, fair play. I mean, if that is an act of trolling, you couldn't have done better than that. Do you know what I mean? You are, I don't know if like on the small boat crossing WhatsApp group, you've just gone, lads, guess what I'm going to do? I mean, that is objectively funny. For me, it's up there with when that Daniel Khalif guy escaped from prison in a fucking, on the bottom of a van, and it was found about a quarter of a mile away. You know, there's some acts of just so breathtaking, you just have to doff your cap. What the fuck you is to people that say this is the small boats thing is being weaponized, right? Weaponized I think sometimes it's a way of ignoring a pressing issue, because they'll say, well, it's only 4% of overall migration, right? And that is true. But overall migration has been at historic highs, right? Up near a million. So when that comes down, as it will, you know, no doubt Labour will take the credit. But when it comes down, that 4% could be more like 10, 15, 20%, right? And even that doesn't change the fact that it's already more this year than it was last year. And that's a significant number of people. That's more people than live in the town that I live in. And I live in a decent-sized town. That's a whole town of people that are arriving illegally by boat. Like, it's a fucked up situation that the government can't seem to do, well, successive governments can't seem to do anything about it. And it seems that there's certain people of certain political liberal left persuasion where they just don't want to talk about this, right? They'll say, well, we had a returns agreement under the Dublin Convention. You go, well, how many returns happened under that? I know that boat crossings were lower, but equally, EU countries are having problems now. So obviously being in the EU is no guarantee that that's going to work. And I just think you've got to grapple with this. The reason something can be weaponized, and I've no doubt that political parties do weaponize things, but it can only be weaponized if it is a potential weapon, right? You can sharpen that weapon, you know what I mean? You can add like fucking booster jets to it. And the problem is it's toxic to a country where you're expecting people to abide by rules. And there's this quite breathtaking breach of that every day, right? Every day. And it reminds me of being a teacher, right? When you know, when you're teaching, there's a naughty kid, but the naughty kid's well unpredictable, and you're worried that if you tell them off, their parents are going to come out of school. So you just cock a deafen, you know? They call you a twat, and then you act like you haven't heard. You go, excuse me, who said that? Who said that? Because if you say it again, and what you're meaning is like, please don't say it again, because you're going to mug me. You're going to make me look as impotent as I am, right? But then what happens is the other kids start to go, well, if they can call you a twat, maybe I can call you a twat. And I do wonder, and I'm not saying like all shoplifting or all low level, like fare dodging is to do with this, but I do wonder if there's this message for the rule abiders that is not, you know, it's not a good one, that they start thinking, well, why should we? Why can't you police? Why can't something be done? I'm not saying it's easy, but it is reasonable to the public to look at this and wonder. And then the French as well. The fuck you also goes to the French. Do you remember when they performatively, some of their coppers slashed that dinghy? And we were like, fucking hell, French ain't mucking about now. Look at that. It just shows, what I hate is the power of one clip. It was like, you know, within COVID, you know, there would be one hospital was overwhelmed. Everyone goes, that's what's going to happen to us. Ah! One clip, if it speaks to a fear or a hope, can be very powerful. And now the French are back kind of going, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. This was just one fucking dingy, you know. And Macron's mugged you off because Starmer was all, you know, even though Rishi Sunak had done the Windsor framework and had better relationship with the EU, when Labour come in, they go, Britain is back on the world stage. We're creating relationships with our allies. I'm shaking hands with Macron. And Macron really isn't that fussed about this. You know, why? For he's got issues of his own. A little bit of Brit bashing goes down a tree. So I was just wondering whether or not on this, Starmer, the perception is that he's weak or feeble, right? If you wanted to go full balls out radical, if you wanted to just really upend everybody's perception of you, just do what one of the global strongman leaders would do. Just go, just to surprise everybody, get the Royal Navy to start dropping dinghies back off at Calais. Just once. Just change the fucking narrative. I'll tell you something, Kit. The right-wing tabloids would love that. Just once, like a Royal Navy, just escort a dinghy back the other way. And the tabloids, my God, they would have a stonking erection for that, wouldn't they? They'd go, Starmer grows up here. Keir Starmer, French Homer. Like, they would have some of that, Macron. And they would just give them an opportunity to do the, you know, up yours, Delors. You go, well, that isn't even relevant now. But yeah, I really think people are burying their heads in the sand and they use the word weaponize. And yes, of course, in the same way Partygate was weaponized, of course, that's what political parties do. They weaponize issues, but that doesn't mean the issue doesn't start off as a weapon. Wow, that was the most ranty fuck you ever on this show. But yeah, look, let me know what you think. whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. If you think I've got it right, let me know. If you think I'm talking shit, also let me know. Anyway, we're going to talk about now that shock, which wasn't a shock result in Caerphilly for the Senedd. If you really want to impress Welsh people, you do the Senedd. But this was a huge result. I mean, forget the result for a second. Let's just talk about the turnout. It was over 50%. That is a motivated fuck you for a Senedd election in cold, wet weather in the middle of autumn. That's people that really wanted to send a message to the governing party. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and David Domain, our super patron, might help out, that is higher than the US presidential election gets turnout for. And Reform were, I think, expected to win. I think they expected to win. I mean, Farage did some weird post that was in the style of the Star Wars opening crawl, and it said in 2020, it was basically all the Labour wins in Caerphilly as a scrolling crawl, and then it said 2025, A New Hope. It's just the most unexpected Star Wars reference of all time. Kind of funny if Farage does see himself as like the leader of the rebellion, kind of like Han Solo with a pint in my hand and a fag in the Falcon. And Reform, obviously, Insurgent Party got a huge share of the boat, but there's also stuff for them to consider here, because it does look like people came out and there was some tactical voting. Maybe people on the left, Labour voters, Lib Dems and Greens, are going, I really don't want to have a Reform representative in the Senedd. And is that culturally insensitive? I'm going to stop doing it. Senedd. And they've come out and vote. So, you know, it's sort of a... that if that was repeated, a general election in some areas, that could hamper Reform, wouldn't hold them back totally. And, you know, I'd say also, I mean, I would say usually that is the right wing, because if you look at loads of other like little council by-elections, the right wing vote often gets split, letting in Labour or the Lib Dems or the Greens. But there was no right wing vote to split from the Tories. Jesus Christ, 2%. Fuck me. That is monster raving Tory party levels. And, you know, we could end up with nationalist governments in all the assemblies, right? SNP in the SNP in Scotland, Plaid in Wales, Sinn Féin in Nairn. And it's all very not very nice to England, isn't it? I take it personally, all these nationalist things. I just see two fingers coming from all these places. But the problem is we don't get to have our own assembly, do we? We don't get to do the reverse fuck you. I mean, there's long been a rising sense of English identity, and that simple reality of all those assemblies run by nationalists could power that in England as well. And yeah, if Labour do lose the Senedd, and I think that they will, you do have to start wondering, right? If you lost the Red Wall in 2019, you lose the Senate in 2026, you know, lose local councils, and it will start to quickly look like 2024, the election result last year, will be the exception that proves the rule, because Labour are very unpopular, right? A bad start has just become ongoing unpopularity. Polling around 20% in a lot of national polling. You know, they lost 20% of their polling here. I think they got 11%. I think like if you let social media guide your perception, it would be that Starmer is hated. I think he's just unpopular. I don't think it's the same. Boris was successful while being hated by a lot of people, right? It's not the same. You know, you'd almost want to divide opinion on some level to have a motivated base. But I don't think when it comes to Starmer, I don't think people feel anything, really. It's whenever I say his name at a tour show, there is this resultant kind of shrug of like, ugh. Just hearing his name. I say, Sir Keir Starmer, everyone goes, oh, God. It's quickly getting like, there was a point where if you mentioned Brexit at a gig, people would go, really? Do we have to? And it's hard to say just what is there to like, right? If you go, right, maybe people don't, there's a link, there's a sort of simmering discontent, hatred in some places. But what is there to like? Because we've had resignations, we've had bad comms, we've had winter fuel, we've had inflation going back up, employment going back up, small boat crossings this week. You know, the rape gang, I think five survivors have now left that. It looks like they're not going to find ahead of it for a long time. You know, there was a piece of communication from Jess Phillips, which implied, well, I think he used the word misinformation or said certain things are being said about the inquiry. But you know, that is looking like a rolling omni shambles as well. And when they try to talk, when you get their guys out on the press, when they talk about what's going well, they'll say breakfast clubs. I mean, that is like breakfast clubs. And breakfast clubs? Is it breakfast clubs? You know what I feel like? You know Samuel L. Jackson? In Pulp Fiction, like, say breakfast clubs again one more fucking time. And investment, record investment. That's what we're hearing. And it might be true. It might be true. But sadly, we're not going to see the results of that for a while. And I would say that, you know, the 4 years thing, I don't think that's working. I know they love it because it did work initially, right? What they've done is successfully created the impression that for the whole 14 years, the Tories were in sole charge, rather than it being a coalition for, I think, around half of that with the DUP on a lesser scale, but also Lib Dems. It did work initially, but now I think it just serves as a reminder of the problems of the two-party system, because you go, it's now kind of like, well, let's tag on what Labour have been in power for. It's now 15 and a half years of chaos, right? You're part of that now. And I think they've got to just drop that. I know they love it. I know that they'll say, well, you know, they were talking about that letter from Liam Byrne in 2015. What the public are hearing is you not take responsibility for anything. It would do something radical, just like with my batshit idea about the Royal Navy, is maybe just say, look, yeah, we have been in power. It's not good enough. What have you just said? It's not good enough for us to keep saying 14 years. We hear you. We're in power now, and we're going to start making a difference. Forget 14 years. It's our time, and we're going to make it better. Turn it into a positive, because all the signs are is that everything you're doing and your messaging is resulting in a declining voter base. All right, just a quick hype for upcoming shows. It's Reading on Saturday, still room for a few more there. Chelmsford nearly sold out. Newcastle, Redditch, Monmouth, Crawley. I haven't mentioned Crawley. That's a massive. We've got over 400 there already, and that's not till the end of the month. The third London date is already close to selling out. Then there were the new dates next year. Ilkley, Lancaster, Coventry, Solihull, Winchester, Portsmouth. Norwich, I think, is already sold out, and that's not till April of next year. So I know people say, why do you keep banging on about it? Because what happens is I bang on about it all the time, and then somebody will go, oh, Norwich is sold out. Yeah, okay, get in there, Live Nation, best show I've ever done, best reaction I've ever done. See you out there. Okay, we're going to talk about Nigel now. Nigel, I wonder what he's, I haven't heard what he said about the Caerphilly by-election. Has he deleted his weird Star Wars post? What spin is he going to put on it? What we're going to see here is negative tactical campaigning. The media, everybody's against that. I don't know what he said. Let me know. But a PMQs earlier this week, as PMQs started, right, people just suddenly noticed, like, Nigel Farage not in his usual seat. And because there's only four Reform MPs, it's not hard to notice when one of them's not there. I mean, it's 25%. Or is it five? Anyway, 20 or 25%, and he's up there in the gallery. He's up there in the gallery. What's happened here? And then it comes out that he's made a stance because he feels that he's not getting called by the speaker. So I think you have approved questions, and then the MPs have a thing where they can do where they can bob, which just sounds like some weird sexual practice. You know, you would see on Tinder, into bobbing, likes to be bobbed. And he's made a stance. He said, well, I might as well sit up here because I'm not getting called by the speaker. And I think first up, that's kind of, it's quite Trumpian instinct there to be the story, not necessarily in a bad way, right? That's what Trump is, always the news. That's part of his skill. A little bit teenage girl energy about it. Just going, seriously, if you're not going to call me, I could just imagine Farage sitting up in the gallery, just twirling his hair, chewing gum on his phone. I don't even know the point. I don't even know the point of being down there if you're not going to call me. I do get his point to a point, right? It's this weird thing where they, by all accounts, bookies, are they the bookies' favourites to win the next election? Probably. You know, polling ahead in, what, 100 more polls, 120 polls? But also, they haven't won, like, anything yet. That's the weird thing about it. They haven't won anything yet. Polls are just polls, right? And if you were to say, right, because of this polling, we're going to give you guaranteed questions. What if the polling changes? And what if the other parties say that? You know, the Lib Dems start polling more. We're just on a rolling basis. Are we going to keep changing it? Or do we just say, look, the litmus test for all of this is an election. That's how we do it in this constitution. What happens if we give Farage, like, one question and then suddenly it turns out, I don't know, he's on a WhatsApp group with Putin? You know, just some bad boy, like kind of strongman leader WhatsApp group, and he said some bad shit, you know, or he said some bad shit about, like, a national treasure. He said something about Martin Lewis. Oh my God, that would be it. And then suddenly they're back polling 10%. So it just kind of undermines what a weird result that last election was, and what a weird situation it is this early in the next parliament to be facing both a new party and a new government. I don't necessarily know why he wants to be called either. Every week, right, the best that can happen for the Tories is that they make a good point to Labour, which Labour then turn around and remind them, well, this happened under you too. I mean, like, you know that old phrase about never interrupt an enemy while they're in the process of defeating themselves. There is an argument, you know, because the problem is if he starts asking questions, he might get questions about, you know, their corruption within Reform. There's that guy that got done recently. You know, some of their councils that made big pledges about how they were going to cut spending, putting up spending. I think one of them's putting them up by 10%. So, like, I wonder if he's sort of gamed this out where he's going, I don't really want to ask a question. But, like, the media play of we're being shut out by the mainstream, that is people, that is catnip to the modern social media audience, the idea that something's being suppressed by the centre. And also, look, he is a celebrity politician. Of course he is. You can't. I know he's been in politics a long time, but he did I'm a Celebrity. And one of the things that he said on I'm a Celebrity was, if you do the challenges, you get more screen time. So this is a little bit of what he's doing now. He wants his parliamentary version of eating kangaroo bollocks on air. So let's talk now about this Lib Dem leaked question. Leaky Lib Dems, right? Before we get into it, let's say that they've been supposed to be a significant part of the opposition. The moment the Tories had 120 and they had 70, it's like, you've really got to step up. And it's never felt exactly like that, right? Ed Davey, he's just, every time he gets to ask Starmer a question, he's like, sorry, old boy, I have to do this. Only gets energised when he does a little drive-by on the Tories. You watch it. So when he's speaking to Starmer, he'll be like, I would say to the Prime Minister, respectfully, when it comes to Trump, respectfully, I understand his problems respectfully, but the party over here, they're absolute shitbags. But Prime Minister, you, on the other hand, I understand your... It's just so clearly something's gone on here. It's so clear. Yeah, and I think that the Lib Dems, they kind of get off on slaying the Tories. They don't really get off on slaying Labour because they've got more in common with them politically. And there's, like, those people online that are just still in the habit of, like, but what about the Tories? You go, yeah, you should be looking at Reform, but whatever. Anyway, this Lib Dem MP, Roz Savage, it was spotted by an intrepid snapper with a long lens camera. I mean, all this feels like analogue age tabloid stuff. Do they still do that? Like, paps hiding out in bushes? Fucking... That's a creepy old profession, isn't it? I wonder if there's guys now that, you know, like, we go, oh, it was a different time. You go, Yeah, but part of your job was just basically trying to just get a photo of somebody in the noddy or celebrity. You're hid in bushes, man. Anyway, this wasn't about paparazzi. And so what it was spotted that there was a question from her in PMQs, and it had quite clearly been, there was pre-warning to Labour and to Starmer of what the question would be. Now, we get that from his own MPs. You know, we know that they're going to do their soft soap questions, which are increasingly tedious. You know, I mean, the Tories, they all do it, right? But when they stand up and go, does the Prime Minister agree with me that he's the absolute dog's bollocks and that we should all try and be more like him and that I'm going to name my child Keir? You know, fine, that happens from your own MPs. But this happening with the Lib Dems, it kind of underlines the fact. I've always thought that there's a non-aggression pact there. I think that they had chats going into the last election, just like Blair did with Paddy Ashdown, right? There's been an ongoing understanding there. And I believe that it still exists, or either they're just in the habit of, no, that is not right, telling the Prime Minister in advance what the question is going to be. Now, in the event, Ross Savage stood up at PMQs and made a joke about it. I was like, I don't know if it's jokey territory. And she asked a different question. And people are like, oh, maybe the Lib Dems are trying to spin it. Maybe she's trolling him. Yeah, I would ask a different question if I got busted as well. Yeah, just a surprise, surprise, Prime Minister. I'm going to ask you something about ID cards now. Because I got caught with my hands in the till. It would just be great if, you know, given that Lib Dems... It would be great if there was a collective noise back when Starmer says something fatuous. It'd be great if the Lib Dems just put their back into it, because they are, you know, I get it at a constituency level. A lot of them just want to be good backbench MPs. But this really is a struggling government, and it kind of needs at PMQs for them to do their job as Her Majesty's loyal opposition. And that's not just like, you know, Ed Davey taking stances saying, you know, stances which are just for clips. It means actually attacking the government. But I guess, you know, when you say attack Lib Dem, it doesn't really scan as a sentence, does it? It's like using the phrase violent hipster. Okay, that is it for this breaking news episode. As ever, please, if you listen to the podcast, please hit follow or subscribe or whatever it is in your podcast app. That helps me go up in the listings. If you leave a 5-star review on Spotify, it helps me. If you leave one on iTunes, I can read it, so I'll read it out. Andy Laidler says... Oh, this is nice. It says, everything you say brings a massive smile to my face. As a blind person, life is often tough, and hearing your twice-weekly podcast cheers my days. One of your listeners said in the past, rather harshly, they didn't like your theme music. Can I say, as a music graduate, I absolutely love it. As soon as the theme starts, I move my arms above my head side to side, and it really gets me going. Thank you. Well, gets you going, though? Whatever works, bro. Thank you, Jeff, for providing some right-leaning balance to an otherwise very lefty comedy world. That is fair. That's really nice of you, man. Genuinely. I'll go. And then I've got like, I don't know, I won't normally read out the 1 stars, but I've got one here. I don't mind if like it's a 1 star from someone that clearly listens to that as a legitimate criticism, but I do get the impression that this person has just found out about me or just like, anyway, I'll read it to you, see what you think. It hasn't got a full name. It says, so painful to listen to. It's so bad, I can't believe it's allowed to be called what most people think. Well, just as a heads up, the title of a podcast is not... I mean, I'm not legally committing to the idea that this is whatever. Anyway, if true, it's depressing. And we as a country deserve everything we get. Jeff, please stop talking. You are an absolute bore. I mean, that would imply that you listen to it enough to have... Anyway, but look, if you want to say something nice about the podcast, iTunes, 5 stars, I'll read them out. And, oh, fuck, I should have said this at the beginning. Next week, I'm away with the family over the weekend. So the podcast will be out on Wednesday, a bit later on Wednesday. But it's going to be a belter with Mark Steele. Have a cracking weekend.